Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Michael Heck, President and CEO of G&O Inc., and this is his namesake song that his staff refers to him as Messy.
Messy. This is the it song of the moment. It's playing everywhere. And as I was sitting yesterday in the bowels of the state capitol testifying, I was thinking this process is just so messy, but not nearly as catchy. Like, you can't really dance to it.
Usually when you sit in the bowels of anything, Michael, it's
That is fair. That is, yep. We chose that word for a reason. My God, have you ever spent those days, like, you know, where you had to go? I guess you had to go up some time and testify on stuff, and
all the time.
Yeah, it's just like a special type of. It's like a DMV where your number is never called.
Well, you know, even when you walk away from it for a while and go back, it's like nothing has changed. The players have changed, but nothing else has changed much, right?
Oh, no. It's like going back to your junior high school cafeteria. Like you've seen it before, the PTSD, you know, sets in, and you know you're going to end up like at the wrong table. No, it's the cool kids, the bullies. There's a whole microculture in the state capitol, and it's fascinating as long as you have the ability to, like, you know, to leave at the end of the day. But it's a whole microcosm or microsystem.
So there's a cycle, you know, that happens, and usually when you get to like that third or fourth week, it, as you describe it, as messy, it's appropriate because a lot of things have advanced a little bit, and then folks start figuring out what it actually does. Of the bill. and they go through this education process, and then they wake up one morning as though divine intervention had occurred, and it's like, oh my God, that means this and this is a downstream implication if I vote yes.
Correct. And then you have the flurry of when do we amend. I mean, it's a totally different world in terms of the rules and the way things proceed and the rhythm. And so, I don't know, I guess it's a bit like learning how to spear fish. Like, it's not, you got to like understand the right angle if you actually, you know, want to get what you're going after. And it's very rarely straightforward.
Yeah. I remember walking out one day thinking that we had an ally. It was a lobbyist. He's walking in front of me and he's talking to his client. They testified on a bill. On behalf of a bill the same way that I did. I'm thinking we have an ally, and I hear the lobbyist tell him, well, we just gave him that win today here in the committee because we're going to kill that on the House floor. Oh, so I tapped him on the shoulder. I said, oh, really? That's interesting.
Thanks for letting me know.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see.
No, there's little honor among, you know, Anyway, but you got to be in it to win it. And that's one thing that I've definitely learned is that if you are not there and you're not advocating and you're not playing the four-dimensional go fish or whatever it is that we're playing, bad things are going to happen. So, you know, you got to be there. You got to get your cup of coffee in the styrofoam cup. And just work through it, because that is where the sausage is being made, and you're going to have to eat whatever comes out. So it's, you know, we've learned that we have to have a presence there almost every day.
No doubt. There are some good pieces of legislation that make their way through, and I'm sure you guys were testifying on some. Tell us about it.
Well, yesterday was the big day about carbon capture and carbon capture use and sequestration, or CCUS. The setup for this is that there are two mega trends that are happening now in energy globally. One is that energy demand is soaring, driven largely by AI. And the other is that demand for lower carbon and cleaner energy is also continuing, unabated. That's happening from governments still, from consumers, from financers. And so whoever can produce the most cheapest energy in a cleaner way is going to win. And that's the opportunity for Louisiana. We think that Louisiana can do this, having all of the above energy strategy. And it's probably our best chance in a couple of generations to turn around the economic and demographic trajectory, or change the trajectory of this state. So I think there's a lot at stake. Now, the key thing, the key linchpin for being able to generate more energy with lower impact is carbon capture. Because the way we can generate all this energy is natural gas. The way we can do it cleaner is by sequestering or eventually using the carbon. Without that carbon capture, we're not going to be able to really take advantage of these two trends. The challenge that we face is that it's one of those weird things, Newell, where there's a pincher movement where we're being attacked by the far left and being attacked by the far right, which is never a good thing when those two groups are coming together. On the far left, in a strange irony, the reason why people don't like carbon capture is because it works. And because it works, it allows natural gas to have a longer life in a lower carbon world. And they just want to get away from all carbon-based fuels and fuel the world by sunlight and, I don't know, unicorn breath or something. On the far right, the people who are against it are folks who either don't believe in climate change at all and think that all this stuff is nonsense, or there's kind of a libertarian streak that doesn't like the idea of drilling, doesn't like the eminent domain that can go with it at the extreme. And so we have to deal with both. The argument that we made yesterday, along with a lot of our partners from Limoga, from Lobby, from industry, is that fundamentally this is about jobs, it's about opportunity, and if we let this pass us by, then we're consigning Louisiana to be a laggard for another couple generations. And fortunately, we prevailed and were able to beat back the bad bills almost across the board. And so we continue on, I think, on trying to create this all-of-the-above energy future.
Michael, the interesting thing about carbon capture and sequestration, the ultimate goal is to consume that carbon, right?
Well, yes and no. I mean, here's the truth about
it. In some way, shape, or form. Okay, go ahead.
Ideally, yes, we would be consuming that carbon and using it for another process, like making cement, for example. So it would be a totally closed loop. The reality, Newell, is that where we are today, it's much less expensive and we have much greater ability just to inject it miles into the ground where it will stay for thousands of years, or into an abandoned oil well. The use part of it is still behind the curve. So it's part of the vision.
Because of the technology?
Yeah, I think because of the technology and the cost. It's just not there yet.
Okay.
So, you know, and I'm just saying that in the interest of being honest about it. We say CCUS, but the CC is big, the S is big, the U is kind of lowercase at this point.
Right. But at some point in time, there is the possibility and of the utilization of it. And
oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, then that, right. that no, I no, mean, no. And then
we,
that
we don't
that
know
is
where
the
these
goal,
technologies
right.
are going. I mean, you know, I mean, what it's interesting. I was reading the article about Spain and Portugal this morning. As of right, as of this morning, I don't think they know what happened. An entire grid went down, you know, based on renewable energy, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, the thing that we understand about energy, and it's the same as with supply chains, is that if you don't have redundancy, if you're not belt and suspenders, yeah, you can have entire nation states going down like happened in Spain and Portugal. So that's why we think this all of the above and layered approach is the right one. And yeah, part of it is that ideally the carbon that we're capturing from cracking natural gas could be used for enhanced oil recovery. You could be using it to make chemicals like fertilizer. You could be using it to make synth fuels like methane or gasoline or diesel. So there's a lot of ways that it can be used. And I just looking across the spectrum at everything that we're doing, you know, nuclear is coming is now having a renaissance. We're doing a lot of interesting stuff in biofuels. Offshore wind is going to make sense for other parts of the country. There'll be some solar. There'll be a little bit onshore wind. But fundamentally, if you're dealing with data centers like the Meta Center up in Richland, the only way that you're going to be able to meet that demand is natural gas and eventually nuclear. And if you want that natural gas to be clean, you got to make sure that the carbon doesn't go into the environment. And so sequestration and then ideally use, that just feels like the common sense approach to this thing.
Yeah. Let's pivot to what I think is a very interesting bill, this omnibus workforce package, HB 624 by Baralt, transfers key family and support programs like SNAP and others from DCFS to the Louisiana Workforce Commission. This one's kind of intriguing for me. What is the thought process behind this bill?
Yeah, you know, and I wish I got to talk to Representative Carver to get the details of this. I wish I knew it. But the thought process I do understand, which is that we should be taking SNAP, which is you know, some Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, food stamps. And we should be having that done in the context of giving people the tools to be productive workers. And so the thought process is one of, instead of segregating the Workforce Commission, which is about work, and Child, Family, and Support Services, which is about supporting kids and their parents, let's put them together and help people be more self-sufficient. So I got to understand what that's going to mean in terms of implementation, but I agree with you, the thought process behind it, which is that we're trying to, I mean, to use the old expression, teach people to fish instead of giving them, you know, a food stamp to buy a fish, certainly is intriguing, and it feels, I don't know, it feels like a smart way to think about this.
Is the LWC the agency that handles unemployment compensation? Or is that a different agency? Do you recall? I'm racking my brain right now. I should know this.
Yeah, I don't feel like LWC handles.
No, it is.
It is.
So yeah, I mean, that makes perfect sense to me. Then it's even, you know, somewhat more intriguing in aligning all of that data. And being able to cross pollinate that data and see where you stand. Interesting.
Yep.
Fortified roof. We keep talking about this. I think they're trying to expand that program, HB 329 by ABARE. Where does that stand?
Yeah, this one I think is going to sail through. This one basically redirects the first $5 million of fees that the Department of Insurance is going to get from insurance related programs to the Fortified Roof Program. I really like this one because when we're talking about the insurance crisis, particularly the property insurance crisis, the fundamental way that we are going to mitigate it over time is by helping homeowners and communities reduce their exposure, reduce their risk, because that's going to drive the pricing of the insurance companies. We know that fortified roofs work much better than traditional roofs. We've seen that in places like Alabama and Florida when they get through storms. And so the more that we can get Louisiana homeowners to put fortified roofs on their homes when they're replacing their roof, over time, the better we're going to see in terms of insurance premiums coming down. So these type of programs that make it affordable, I think, are very smart investments in overall reducing risk and exposure for our state.
Yeah. Michael, you and I have talked about this Australian company, Woodside Energy, and they are completing this process of this deal their investment here in Louisiana.
Yeah, this happened quickly. I spoke to their CEO out in at CERAWeek back in April, and then a couple of folks from the state went and visited them in Perth, the most remote city on Earth, actually, when we were in Australia recently. Yeah, it's literally the most remote city on Earth, big city on Earth, which is kind of fascinating. It's a six-hour flight from Sydney over to Perth. They've made their final decision. Yeah, so they're going to be making almost an $18 billion investment in Calcasieu Parish. It is, I think it might be the largest foreign investment in Louisiana history, because Venture Global, which is Greater, is a domestic company. It's just part of the boom that's happening out in Lake Charles. This particular one is going to create up to 1,000 permanent jobs and 8,000 construction jobs. And so it just continues this completely unprecedented level of investment in natural gas. I'm kind of running the numbers on it, Noel, but we have Venture Global is going to be a total of $75 million. These guys are another $18 million. And then we have the other projects. So that's going to be over $100 billion of investment in LNG, which has implications not just for Louisiana, but for the world, because the majority of the liquefied natural gas in the country is being exported from Louisiana, and it's going to places like Europe to get them off of Russian natural gas, and places like Asia to get them off of coal.
Yeah. I think you have a commitment, and you have to leave us. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm going to have to get to an 11:45, so...
So we appreciate you joining us this morning. Sorry you have to cut the segment short. And we will visit with Emily Skinstad, Senior Director of Startup Communities at TechStars, when we return. Michael, as always, thank you for joining us this morning, and have a great week.
Thank you, Neil. You're trading up in the segment, I think.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
With this. Just a reminder, folks, we will be at Jazz Fest tomorrow from 10 to 1. We've got a great lineup for you, a bunch of different food vendors, some folks that are performing there. We'll get a chance to talk to the CEO of the Jazz Fest and other folks as well to give you a flavor of Jazz Fest, the economic impact, what it does for our community, and how world-renowned it is. We learned last week that Michalopoulos, James, who I interviewed, I thought it was an incredible interview. I really enjoyed speaking with him. Number one poster artist in the world. More folks have bought his poster than any other artist. It's his eighth time that he has produced the Jazz Fest poster. And so there's the belief that this one's going to be every bit as big as the others, and I would agree. We talked to Bud Brimberg, who is the individual responsible for the production of the Jazz Fest poster. Same thing with the clothing, the design of the clothing, and everything else. So we're really looking forward to broadcasting tomorrow at Jazz Fest. And also, I want to remind everyone about, and by the way, it's Locals Thursday at Jazz Fest tomorrow, so you definitely want to take that into consideration as well. And tonight, Wednesday at the Square, starts at 5 p.m., our own Ashley O. from our sister station, Bayou 95.7. She'll be there to introduce local favorites Eric Lindell with Sun Pie and Friends, presented by Abita Brewing Company, the Young Leadership Council, and WWL. Happy to bring this forward to you. Wednesday at the Square. The Wild Sea does a great job. Well run. They keep it clean. I mean, it's amazing everything that they do. Really like to see it in operation. And congratulations to the YLC. Again, they've been having large numbers, maybe even record numbers of folks that have been showing up for some of the bands that have been presented, which is really great to see. Just well run. Everybody's well behaved. It's just a laid back, middle of the week, great opportunity. Looks like the weather's going to be great. There's a nice breeze blowing out there now, and hopefully that continues into the evening. So we're trying to hook up now with Emily Skinstead, Senior Director of Startup Communities at Techstars. We had her. We lost her. I think at the present time she may be overseas, and that may be part of the issue that we have in trying to connect with her. So why don't we go to another break and we'll try and make that connection and we'll be right back.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
we get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
So, folks, we're having continuing difficulties in hooking up with Emily Skinstad, Senior Director, Startup Communities at Techstars. But what we're going to talk about is an incredible event that's coming up this week, and GNO Inc. is always thinking out of the box. It's called the Techstars Startup Weekend. It's a three-day boot camp-esque experience for participants to actually build a company in one weekend. So the way this works, that these teams will develop this presentations for judges to on the outcome of their work, meaning they're going to create a company in a condensed format, but with focused support from experienced founders and mentors and a team of helpers. And they'll present this to a group of judges on their presentation. And the attendees are typically aspiring or experienced entrepreneurs, startup support team folks. They're doing software development, business ops, design, marketing, and the like. And, you know, they'll break up into groups, create these companies, and figure out the operational plans for it and everything else. And obviously it's the final weekend of Jazz Fest. They hope to have people coming here from a bunch of different places. And a lot of these folks get exposed to what goes on here in New Orleans, and they start thinking about their entrepreneurial bent, whether or not this environment, this landscape here is favorable for them to continue on this journey in starting a new company. Just an incredible exercise, another opportunity of folks to be able to do that, to engage in this process. And I really wanted to hear from Emily as to why New Orleans being a great place to have Techstar weekend. And maybe we can get more information when we visit with Michael next week and figure this out. I apologize for the difficulty, but she is overseas somewhere and not able to make that connection for whatever reason. Came across an article. Let's pivot to something. You know, it never ceases to amaze me what has happened over the last 4 years during the Biden administration as it relates to the underutilization of law enforcement, or standing in the way of the transfer of information that is vital and critical to saving people's lives. There's a nonprofit organization called the Polaris Project. They're an NGO, and they basically handle the National Human Trafficking Hotline, which is an incredible resource for sex trafficking and activities such as that. Where they get these tips on these hotlines every day. They receive about $9 million in grant funding to handle this situation. And the whole purpose of this was that they would receive this and they would share these tips with local law enforcement. But for whatever reason, they stopped. The former director of Polaris, under the Biden administration, just decided that they weren't going to pass this information on to law enforcement, which was contrary to the whole reason that they received the funding in the first place. And the thing about human trafficking cases, the sooner you're able to pass these tips on to local law enforcement, the higher the probability of being able to get in there, disrupt it, and dismantle it, and catch the individuals that are trafficking folks, that in many cases they lure them in many different ways, online, some even kidnapped. You see the abuse of the immigration population that comes to this country, and the list just goes on and on and on. And since 2007, the hotline has identified more than 100,000 cases of human trafficking involving 197,000 victims. But when you talk about passing this information on, This has been kind of a hot topic for a while now, where state attorneys generals have sounded the alarm and wanted to know, why is this not happening? Why are we not passing on these hotline tips to local law enforcement? And why are we not making the impact that we should be making, which was the original intent of Congress when they passed the bill to fund these operations? Well, it just so happens that the previous executive who had made this decision has recently been replaced. And maybe, hopefully, this thing will get back on course of handing over very sensitive but critical information to law enforcement to be able to disrupt these human trafficking organizations and operations. Some of them are very organized, some are one-offs. They're very difficult cases. These tips are very important that come to the hotline. And one of the observations that was made was that even more alarming than maybe not even handing them over is when they receive a tip at the hotline, there's a track record that they waited like months before they did hand over the tip to local law enforcement. That either way, it doesn't work if you're not promptly sharing these tips with law enforcement. I mean, that may be the most viable link, critical link, to being able to apprehend the perpetrators of this, right? People that care, that give a damn, that are calling the hotline, I hope they get this straight. I mean, as I read through the story a couple of times, it's like, what are we doing? How does this happen in this country where we're funding with our tax dollars, NGOs that are supposed to be doing these things, so supposed to be critical links to local law enforcement, state law enforcement, and others, fusion centers across the country where they've made human trafficking part of these intelligence fusion centers that deal with national security issues, because it is a national security issue, quite frankly. And we just totally dropped the ball. And I don't know about you, but I cannot think of any scenario where this inures to the benefit of anyone. Why would you not want to do this? There are some that are saying because it's directly and intrinsically linked to the immigration issue. Maybe so, but how can you get caught up in all this ideology where with intentionality, you leave human trafficking victims out there, wallowing in the bowels of our society, and you have these tips? How do you go to bed at night? How do you put your head on the pillow? It's absolutely incredulous to me that we find ourselves in this position. And when you think about, you know, funding this to the tune of $9 million a year. I mean, think about all the ways that we could spend $9 million that would be incredibly impactful to fund operations with people that run it that give a damn. It's crazy that we keep hearing these stories over and over and over again that do nothing for the safety and security of our citizens, nothing for the safety and security of our home, our communities, to provide a safe place to live, work, and raise a family. All of these are cliches, but we all desire this. And then when you have this disconnect like this, you can't help but feel helpless in many respects. Love to hear from you, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We'll be right back. Okay, just when you thought you've seen it all, you can count on either the state legislature and or Congress to show you otherwise, right? So I'm getting a lot of texts about this vehicle inspection sticker thing that was killed in committee again to do away with it, right? And it's just a money thing, folks. Folks are asking, why did the bill fail again with all the Republicans that are there? It's a money thing. Plain and simple. It's hard to wean government off these fees that you're paying. They refer to it as a tax. It's a fee, as though we don't understand the fact that it's still money being extracted out of our wallet. For what purpose? I don't know. There's little or no enforcement of this any longer, quite frankly. And the reality is that it's a sum of money that they don't know how to replace. So let's pivot to Congress real quick. You're going to love this. The House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee Chair Sam Graves, a Republican from Missouri, released some details of their committee's contribution to this one fabulous, great-looking mega bill, right? And it included, hold on to your seat, a $20 fee on most passenger cars. The reaction of Chip Roy and others, that are kind of the fiscal hawks are, and I quote, like, are you out of your freaking mind? The party of limited government is going to go out and say we're going to have a car tax? He says, you know what? I was told, don't worry about it. We'll get rid of it later in the highway bill. It's like, what does that mean? They say this is laying the groundwork to get rid of the gasoline tax in 2032. Anybody believe that? I don't.